This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I am well. Good morning.
A little hazy this morning at my house on the way in.
I think that was fog, sir.
Is that what? Well,
yes. It's the onshore flow.
Oh, so it's haze in the daytime, but it's fog at night. Is that how it works?
Well, I guess yes, but I would ascribe more pollution to haze
or something. Yes.
Okay.
And yep.
All right.
Okay. That was a marine layer that came in.
Thank you, George. How do you feel about that as a former naval officer?
The marine layer?
The marine layer coming in.
It's fine.
It's okay. Yeah. We're supposed to have a warm day today, but a cool week as this onshore flow continues.
Yeah, I did hear that it was going to start to cool off.
Quite a bit. They're talking about well below average. I might have to wear long pants this week, which is good for everybody around me. I know. You don't even have to say it.
Yeah.
But I'm bum.
Today is the day before Mother's Day, so happy early Mother's Day to all of you out there that are celebrating. I got nothing to say about that other than that. Yeah. So anyway, we don't want
to spoil any surprises.
No.
We'll talk about it next week after the fact.
Okay. We do have classes coming up today in both stores. In San Diego at 9 o'clock, it's going to be houseplants with Ted. And in Poway, it's going to be Spiders in the Garden with Randy Sipsack from the San Diego Spider Society. I think that's actually going to be a very interesting.
We're expecting, a pretty good turnout for that class.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good one.
I'm going to walk all the way over there, and I'd like to see about Spiders in the Garden.
You know, the genesis behind this was the fact that we had so many people that come in and are looking for sprays to kill spiders because they're in their shrubs.
Right.
And when you start speaking with them, and they'll say, well, yeah, they're eating my plants. Mm. Well, spiders aren't eating your plants. And in fact, to my knowledge, there are no vegan or vegetarian spiders.
Other than spider mites.
Well, spider mites different, but that's not what they're seeing. They're seeing the big spiders, yeah.
Yeah, I had to go.
We had that conversation a lot, yes.
My patio furniture was infested with spiders. I had to go and
hose them off.
Clean them out of there.
Yeah.
They're all taken care of now.
I still remember putting on my little headlamp and going down to lock up the chickens and seeing all the little spider eyes reflecting
staring back at me.
It was kind of creepy. Ooh, but
that is creepy. I've never done that before.
I remember reading somewhere that if we didn't have spiders,
we'd be overrun.
We'd be overrun with
That was one of our Wednesday wisdoms. Yeah. It's been a year or so, but yeah, you're right.
So I do pay attention.
Once in a while.
Yeah. Long-term memory. Okay.
Yesterday, not so much.
Oh, the other one is people freaking out about brown recluses. And
we had that conversation.
They are not indigenous to San Diego.
No, but how come we have not had them piggybacking in a van full of somebody's furniture? Or I'm surprised
point, they're not native to our area.
Would they die out if somebody imported them?
Well, I guess they'd have to import more than one.
Oh, they'd have to import two.
Or they could import the egg sacs.
Import an egg sack of them.
I don't know. I thought about that because I know they're not around here and people blame everything on brown.
I believe it's a desert recluse that is a recluse, but it's not here. But it's not the same as the brown recluse. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you can learn all about that today with Randy up in Poway at 9:30.
At 9:30. Next weekend, the 14th, in San Diego. It's going to be Rose Care with Constance. And in Poway at 9:30 on the 14th, it's going to be Building Healthy Soil with Tyler Trimble, which that should both of those should be excellent classes as well. Tyler does a really good job. He's a very popular presenter.
Backyard Food depending San Diego?
Yeah.
Right. That is.
Yep.
Depending on which store he is. Well, regardless of which store he is in, he's a very good presenter.
Without regard to. The older I get, the wiser I be. Well, that doesn't necessarily follow. But the soil is the key.
Yes.
If you have good soil and take good care of your soil, your plants will take care of themselves. And our focus as we maintain our plants should be on maintaining the soil. So that would be
like building a healthy soil and a whole soil web. Is that where you're going with
that? Do we have a class coming up on anything like that?
We do, in fact.
Okay.
Moving on a little bit later in the month, on the 21st, the weekend of the 21st, San Diego is going to be Summer Color with Ryan, and you two are going to be doing the citrus class.
The citrus class. We are.
Yeah.
That's Mutton too Jeff, bad. After all of these good classes coming up, then they're going to have to.
They're going to throw us out there.
Yeah.
Well,
I go Mutton
Jeff. The master gardeners tend to like the stuff that you do.
Well, that's I think because they pay for it and they feel like, well, I better say that because I need to say I got something for my money.
That is true. I didn't hear anything about this year.
Did you get
any feedback?
No, we did.
Post?
We had feedback.
We did? Did we get good feedback?
It was positive.
Oh, okay, good. Okay. Whew. Thank goodness.
Moving on to the San Diego Botanical Garden Foundation, not to be confused with the San Diego Botanical Garden. Today and tomorrow, it's the Epiphyllum Society show and sale in Balboa Park in Casa del Prado. So if you're looking for something to do this weekend in Balboa Park, that would be something that I would recommend that you stop by and see. They should have some pretty amazing stuff.
I have a beautiful kind of a yellowy apricot epiphyllum that's blooming in my backyard right now. It's too bad they come and go so quickly.
Yeah, that's the
yeah, they don't last very long, right? Unfortunately.
But the plants require nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where do you grow it?
It's hanging in my Tipuana Tipu, and I water it on occasion, and I throw a few Grow Power planting tablets in it on occasion, and they grow. And it really needs to come out of its pot. It was overgrown. It was part of the collection that I got that we were talking about at a yard sale, and it was overgrown six years ago, 7 years ago, and it's still been hanging in a pot. It needs to.
But it's still surviving.
Oh, yeah, and still blooming.
I've got a couple of big epiphyllum oxypetalums that it's funny. They just sit there and they don't do anything for the longest time, and then next thing you know, it's got huge flower buds hanging all over it, and then I'll tell Melanie, I said, it's going to bloom, and then wake up the next morning. Go out and
missed it.
Forgot to go look.
Yeah,
but when we do go look and they're open, they're probably close to 8 inches across.
They are
really
spectacular.
Pretty.
You use Grow Power tablets, and we have a lot of customers that come in, and I don't know where they read it, but they come with very specific needs for theirs. You know, do you have? I'm making this up for illustrative purpose. You know, a 2, 9, 14.5.
It's a truth. People come in with these. Yeah.
It's amazing. Just throw
777. It has to have 777. I saw it on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
What food do I get for my Passiflora edgeless, my edible passion flower? 888 has to be. Yeah. Well, it has to be an 888. I saw it. Okay.
Yeah. Go find it. Yeah. Good luck finding it.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
the weekend of the 13th, 14th, and 15th, the Geranium Society is having their show and sale in Balboa Park, which that should be interesting as well. And then the big show this month is going to be the Plumeria Society cutting sale, which is the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. If you want to do that, my suggestion would be to get there on the 20th if you want a good selection, because I have a feeling by the time the 21st and the 22nd roll around,
there's going to be
a lot less for sale than there was on the 20th. And moving up north to the San Diego Botanical Garden, World of Orchids starts this week. And they recommend that you buy your tickets online because it can sell out. And if you don't have if you don't have a ticket when you get there, you may not be able to get into the conservatory.
They really dress it up nicely, or at least they did last year. The pictures and were incredible.
I can't remember if we went. I can't remember if we went last year or not.
For the orchids?
For the orchids. Yeah, I'll have to go. We'll have to go this year. It's. I'm sure it's. They do some incredible. They do incredible stuff in the conservatory there. It really has been a tremendous addition to the garden.
You know, you mentioned plumerias. We're going to have a big plumeria class.
We actually have. Speaking of, when is the plumeria class?
It's in June, June 18th, okay. With Mike Atkinson.
Okay.
Atkinson Plumeria.
We're already starting to get plumerias in stock.
That seems early, but.
We actually had, I didn't see any this week, but last week we got some in that had flowers on them.
Really?
Already. Yeah. I have a big one out by my pool. It's probably going to be another month. I guess June, July is when they really start.
Yeah.
When they really start kicking in. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. Speaking of Mother's Day coming up tomorrow, if you're looking for last-minute gifts, we do have stuff available in both stores. I know we got some nice florist hydrangeas in. I think most of the cymbidiums are gone.
There's still
a few. Yes, it's about six, but they're all yellow.
Yeah.
In the Poway store.
Are some gorgeous dahlias.
They were going fast. The dahlias this year have been unbelievable.
There are also a lot of other orchids, the Phalaenopsis, and I was noticing on my way out the door yesterday, we got in some little miniature fails. Small, I mean, mini.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I missed
many,
those.
Many. And I don't want to spoil any surprises, so I won't say any more about
what you can use them for?
Yeah.
This weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
And just lots of. Both stores have a really good selection of houseplants, too. And as a matter of fact, we are going to be getting some more unusual and interesting houseplants in the not-too-distant future. We have not gotten a ship date yet, but we found a grower over in Florida that has some really nice stuff we can't get out here. So we have that stuff on order.
My daughter was talking about driving down to Florida because she has some kind of a grower down there, and she was going to pick up stuff and bring it back. But she just needs—I just need a greenhouse, Dad.
We all do.
Okay.
Just get some grow lights and put them in your bathroom.
She wants a greenhouse, and she sent me a picture of a clear greenhouse. Well, you're going to have to cover it. Well, I'll put shade cloth over it. No, you want a greenhouse? Move back here. Anyway,
there you go. There you go. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Harry, stay on the line. We're going to talk to you when we come back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to head up north to Fallbrook where Harry is waiting. Good morning, Harry. How are you?
Good morning. I have a couple questions, but I want to start off by making a statement that the Vista Garden Club is going to have their flower show next weekend.
Oh,
at the Vista Community Center, which is where Moonlight Theater is. So I just want to, make this case someone would be interested in going to that. It would be next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, excellent. Thank you very much for bringing that to our attention. What do you know what the hours are?
I don't have the booklet right in front of me, but I don't know.
I'm sure
I'm 10 to 4 or something like that.
Okay, I'm sure the listeners could find it online as well. So what's your question for us today?
Well, I have two questions. One is the saffron crocus. When do you sell the bulbs for those?
Those are fall bulbs. Yeah, they come in the fall, usually September, October.
And they may come in later than the... No, I think they do come in with the first ship.
They usually come in pretty early.
Mid-September. Oh, yeah, but it's later September now. Yeah. Late September.
Okay, and if you plant them in September, when do they come out?
Usually in the springtime.
Yeah.
I think right after the first of the year, or early. Yeah. They're going to start growing shortly after they go in the ground, and they usually bloom in the winter here.
Oh, okay.
It's the spring-blooming crocus that need the chill, and they bloom later in the season. The spring bloomers that need the chill bloom later in the season. The saffron crocus come right out.
That chill worries me. Is that suitable for California?
The chill is not for the saffron crocus. It's for the other crocus. So yeah. It's not the saffron crocus naturalized here. They do very well.
Yeah. The other crocus is one of the bulbs that you can put in the refrigerator for a few weeks to give them the chill that they need to really do well. But the saffron crocus, you don't have to do that at all. They'll take care of themselves.
Okay, just talking about that, the other crocus that needs a chill, if you don't give it a chill, what happens?
It essentially just shrivels up and dies after a season or two.
Yeah, they won't naturalize very well. But you can, after they flower, you can lift them and keep them, store them in a dry location, and then the following season put them in the refrigerator again to give them the chill that they need, and they'll keep going. They're a little more work... if you want to keep them going.
I would say a lot more.
Yeah, I was going to say substantially more.
So they take the same culture as tulips and hyacinths.
Correct.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, the other question is, a lot of people have raised beds for one reason or another. A raised bed, you have to fill it with soil, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The question is... do you have to take that soil out and replenish it after a certain time, or do you just leave it in there?
You can just leave it in there. You'll definitely want to add fresh organic material because as the soil starts to break down, you're going to have less volume in the bed. So you want to add new organic material to it. Probably depending on what you're growing, wouldn't hurt to add some gypsum to get some calcium into it, and then also mix some fertilizer into it, whether you're using grow power tomato and vegetable food, or Dr. Earth or EB Stone organic vegetable food, either one. But the easiest way to do it is just put everything that you're going to mix into the soil in there at once, and then just mix it one time rather than put down the organic material, mix that in, put down the fertilizer, mix that in, put down the gypsum, mix that in. Just put everything that you're going to put in down and then stir it all in at once.
Okay, well, that's it. That answers the question. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. Thanks for giving us the tip on the Vista Garden Club, too. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Bye now.
On the Vista Garden, by the way, Saturday, May 14th, it's from 2 to 5 p.m., and the May 15th, the Sunday, is a 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Event. So, and they have free refreshments they're advertising too. So,
wow.
If you want to get something to drink while you're shopping around, you can. So.
Excellent. Thank you, Brendan.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number.
You know, by its nature, good, rich, raised bed soil is going to shrink and contract. And how much you have to add in and how much you have to replenish kind of depends on what the soil looks and feels like.
And how much organic material is actually in it to begin with.
Right.
Yeah. And actually, if you're starting out with a new raised bed, you're going to need to buy more soil than you think you do to fill it because as soon as you get it in there and water it the first time, it's going to
compact.
It's going to compact down. There is a compaction factor, and it's probably close to 10 or 20%. So always buy more soil than you think you're going to need, because you will end up having to fill it back up again.
Or walk across the street and ask your neighbor if he has any more broken bags or something like that. You know, there's other ways to
yes,
do it, but it still has to be done.
If you're interested in putting in a butterfly garden or helping the monarchs out, finally, the growers have caught up on milkweed supply, and we have a better supply of native milkweed now than I think we ever have. We have quite a bit of it out there on the tables right now, and we also have quite a bit of tropical milkweed out there as well.
A lot more than I've seen in some time.
Yeah.
Hey, just real quick, going back to the epiphyllium.
Yes.
Epiphyllium, depending on one's pronunciation. When we talk about it, we know what it is, but do you guys have a common name that you use on that? I know that it has
orchid cactus.
Orchid cactus, yeah. Or climbing cactus.
Yeah, orchid cactus is the most common one.
Right.
I haven't heard it called climbing cactus.
Really? I have. And I was just curious, you know, because we always...
Regular.
Because we always throw the name out without, you know, describing it, so...
Okay. Well, we've got some of those, the really toothed foliage ones.
Yes.
That we got from San Marcos.
The fishbone ones. And I have one at home that I got last year, because looking at the pictures online at what they do when they bloom, they look incredible. So I've kept it alive for 6 months or 8 months now.
It's a cool plant. I may have to.
And they,
I may have to
they
get
are
one.
Pretty carefree.
And it's funny.
They are very
you say
carefree.
Climbing. They usually don't. The orchid cactus usually kind of trail down.
But if there's anything to climb on, I guess, if they're up against. But that's one of the
but
terms.
But the other ones, the fishbone, but there's quite a few different varieties. Those and the dragon fruit, they climb.
Yes.
Differently.
Yep.
But anyway, so I just want to call out your common name. Your common name is no good.
So that's why we don't use common names.
Okay.
And I agree with you.
It's, I took a phone call yesterday where somebody wanted to know if we had African daisies in stock.
So you did the which one?
Yes. Yeah. And she was looking for the common purple or white freeway daisies. But if somebody said climbing cactus,
you wouldn't know.
Think of everything but the orchid cactus that we were just talking about. Huh. So there.
Huh.
Yes.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to head out to El Cajon where Andy is waiting. Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Anytime. What can we do for you?
I have a question about a Satsuma mandarin. I have a beautiful tree that's probably 20 years old, very well manicured and taken care of. But for some reason this year, I got probably a handful of blooms, probably 10 blooms, and normally it's like grapes.
Hmm.
I was wondering if you had any ideas why that would happen. It's fed, watered, beautiful, no bugs, nothing.
Well,
and it just was really odd.
It seems to me we're a little
late.
I was going to say first Satsumas. They bloom.
Yeah, they bloom in February. And this year, when the blooms came out, it was just like, I'd say probably 10 of them on a tree that's probably 7-8 feet tall, but it's usually loaded like grapes.
Yeah.
And some of the sets fall off, but I don't know if it's because of the climate, because it was warmer this year, or I don't know what. I was wondering if you had any ideas.
I don't. The most important thing would be food and water.
Exactly, food and water. But if everything's taken care of,
I'm a grow power guy, so yeah.
That's what I would recommend. Follow the application instructions. It may have been if you're not getting the actual, if the flower, we have people that will come in and talk about their fruit trees where they're not getting any fruit, and sometimes it's they flower but they don't get any fruit, so that's usually a pollination issue. But if they're not flowering at all and you don't get any fruit, then that's probably a cultural issue, and it may be an issue. And if you haven't changed anything that you're doing, it may be a cultural issue that's outside of your control, like you mentioned, maybe a climate issue or something like that.
Well, you might also expand the water zone, and maybe the root system's outgrowing where you're watering now. I don't have anything.
Yeah, don't have a definite answer for you.
Yeah, I have a drip system on it, and then I have a soaker hose that's wrapped around that. I just leave it there, and every once in a while I hook up the hose and give it a good drink of water. But I mean, I don't overwater it. I know how to take care of it.
Yeah, it sounds
really
good.
Weird that this year it didn't do anything, and but you look at the tree, it's beautiful.
Well, see that for example, I've got a Washington navel in a big pot on my back patio, and I'll get a couple of oranges a year out of it. And I was out looking at it the other day, and it has more flowers on it right now than I've ever seen before, and it's set probably a couple hundred oranges right now. I don't know if they're all going to make it or not, but it's never done that. It's never done that before. I don't know why it's decided to do that all of a sudden, because the care of it really hasn't changed at all from what I'm doing with it. So, you know, there is some variation in it, but I would keep up with what you're doing. You know, maybe give it a little, if it's getting bigger, maybe move that soaker hose out a little bit closer to the middle between the drip line and the trunk, and just soak the, when you do soak it, make sure that you soak the entire area under the canopy of the tree. And just see what happens. It sounds like you're doing everything right. So I don't have a definitive answer. You got us on that one. So just keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call.
Okay. Anytime. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Okay. Take care.
Because it sounds like he's doing everything right, but I guess every year is different.
Yeah, it's hard to say sometimes. I can't believe how many oranges are set on the.
Yes.
Of course, they're.
You shouldn't be saying that right now. Right after he just gave us his sad song about having fruit.
Well, I know. I know everything that's on there isn't gonna stay on there.
I know he said his always blooms in February. I thought my Satsuma bloomed a little bit later. I thought it pushes out growth about now. So.
Mine's grown. Mine have growth on it now. Yeah, so.
Do any of yours do alternate bearing?
Yeah. So, because I had a pretty heavy crop this year, and last year it wasn't nearly as big.
So, I mean.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, if you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Hopefully, in the not-too-distant future, we're going to have another supplier of citrus with some interesting varieties coming in.
The failed kumquat order has worked out very well for Walter Anderson Nursery.
Well, I wasn't referring to that grower.
No, I know. No, I know, but
that's true.
Catalyst for a lot of new things. And so I sent in a very nice order of some things that we normally do get that we have not been able to get, and then some things that we have not been able to get that we've had a lot of people asking for. And I think we should just tease it at that, because I don't know
what's going to show up
and what we're going to get confirmed.
Yeah.
But pretty exciting new citrus, and so we're going to have to find some more space, George.
Oh, absolutely. There's one that I'm already, yes.
Is it the one I'm thinking of?
It is. And my question to you, though, is that these are going to be very similar in stature as those that we just recently received in the smaller containers?
No, not in the In the medium containers.
Medium containers.
Yes.
Okay.
So these are going to be in about 5-inch by 5-inch by a foot deep square pots. And they should be nice budded new plants that are a couple or 2 to 3 feet tall, I think. And they'll be fairly skinny. They may not have much branching on them, but if they are like the ones that I am expecting, as soon as we get them, they will start pushing out growth to the sides and be a full tree within a full branching tree within a few months. And there's some.
Well, those that we did receive that were like that, you know, in the sleeves, I put 3 of those in the ground and they are leafing out and doing very, very well. So I'm pretty excited about it.
My lemon is still sitting in its sleeve on my driveway.
It's alive still?
Oh, yeah. And it's grown out very nicely. It's branched out really well.
I found those containers hard to keep wet.
You
have to water them a lot. So
yes,
I had to get
it
in the ground.
Yes, I know. And I put all my little test tube plants, those are they're in pots and growing out well. But they were tiny. These are going to be the intermediate sized ones that should be perfect for starts. For transplant into the ground, and they take off really quickly. And if it all goes well, we will have some, well, all sorts of different things.
Well, before we end that, when do you expect them roughly?
I don't know yet.
September or December?
So this is a, no. This stuff we're talking about within the next 30 days or 45 days.
So soon, relatively soon.
Yes.
Okay.
And I placed another order with the other people that should come down within the next 30 or 45 days with different varieties. If things work out as they are appearing, we should be the best place to go for citrus anywhere in this, probably the southern half of the state.
What I find difficult for me here is I need more water because I want more of these trees.
Yeah.
And we need more. We have to have better access to water.
I just need better dirt, better soil in my yard.
Well, you know what I tell people when they tell me that, Ken, is you're not special. We all have poor soil. You just have to work at it to build a healthy soil.
I need it to drain. Yeah. That's the biggest problem that I have.
Raised planters for you, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get that man a raised planter stat.
You know, the other talking about citrus, the other thing that just amazes me is how we have never had such a low supply of standard citrus.
It's almost embarrassing when you walk out there.
It's incredible. If we have 2 dozen standard citrus in stock right now of any variety or size, I would be surprised. I mean, it's that entire bed is almost completely empty. And avocados were thinning out too, but we got a huge shipment of 15-gallon avocados in
yesterday,
I think it was. Really nice ones.
Yes.
Those crops are starting to come in like they used to. Yeah.
Right.
We have a very, very good selection of at least larger avocados right now as well.
We got in some very nice Fuertes and Haas yesterday, and they didn't ship them a few weeks ago because they weren't ready yet. They weren't up to size. Well, I think we could have taken them
a few weeks ago.
They would have been okay.
Probably would have been okay. It seems late to me, but clematis came in. We've got a nice selection of clematis from.
It's either later or really early.
Well, they don't have any flowers on them yet, so that's.
Yeah, we get them in June. I guess.
It's May. We're close.
Yeah, usually.
But usually when we get them in, they've got flowers all
that's
over them.
That's very true.
This crop did not. I'm assuming those came down from Oregon from Monrovia.
I am not certain of that. And we were expecting a different Oregon order this week that was supposed to come in, and I don't know if it has or not. If they came from Oregon, have they been released? Was it earlier in the week?
Well, they were in the beds.
So they had been released.
They had been released.
Okay.
And that's something that we put two clematis in last spring, I think, and I failed on those. I had the roots in the shade and I guess not enough water, but they didn't take.
Yeah.
I'll bring them back.
You got to keep the roots cool.
Oh, yeah. I thought they were in enough shade, but apparently not.
I would submit to you probably just didn't give them enough water.
Well, I agree. I think it was a watering issue.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then quit using the shady roots as an excuse.
Well, had they been in a little bit more shade, more mulch, I might have been able to get away with less water.
And you know what else I saw out in the subtropical fruit section that I hadn't seen before is the black goji berries.
Yes.
Usually they're those little
red
things.
the face you just made for
Yeah. Them. Well, I mean, I remember when goji berries hit the scene was probably 10, 15 years ago.
Like I have one at the PQ house, but they're like, it's like a very tiny tomato as far as the texture.
But isn't it really good for you?
It's a superfood. Very good for you.
Yes. But the black one I hadn't seen before. And as far as what the plants look like, the black goji berry is a much better looking plant than the regular goji berry. The regular goji berries are just kind of,
I thought they were all weedy.
It is weedy.
Yeah, yeah, but the black goji berry is a better looking weed than the red one.
okay. Fair enough.
And we also have a very nice selection of dragon fruit in stock right now, which are pretty easy to grow.
Yes, they are.
If you like dragon fruit.
Yeah, they're kind of like a climbing epiphyllum.
climbing cactus, yes. Yes,
they are.
Yeah.
Those roots that come out and grab things.
I remember driving, I think it was with you, Ken. We were driving through North County, and one of the growers we were driving past, I think it was off of Gopher Canyon Road, we were winding down past a palm nursery, and somebody had chopped the tops off of all of their guava trees, and they had dragon fruit growing up into them. So I went home and planted a dragon fruit under my guava trees, and I didn't chop the tops off them, so I don't think they get enough sun, so they're kind of spindly, and I've never gotten a piece of fruit off them, but they've grown up through the guava trees nicely.
It's a shame they're not a more attractive plant, because I like the fruit, but not the white one, because those are pretty bland, but some of the, we did a taste test once in Poway, and some of them were a little bit sweeter than the others, but nonetheless, the plants themselves are not very attractive. So.
Are they nutrient dense? What is the attraction of dragon fruit? They're very popular, and they look cool.
And they're expensive in the store.
Yes.
$9 for one.
And they're pretty easy to grow. So what's the deal? Are they nutrient dense?
Are you looking it up?
I'm going to look it up. So you guys go on. And I was.
I don't understand the. Yeah. I don't understand the attraction of it myself either. I mean, it's not that it's bad. It's just that I don't.
Wait a minute.
I don't get
it. Do you and I agree on something?
I think on this one we do.
All right.
Yeah. It's.
So we have some common ground. Now we can go forward.
Now we can be friends.
Yeah.
I like them. I think they're pretty tasty.
And they're easy to grow.
The white ones are bland, but they are very easy to grow.
Super easy to grow. You know, in the continuing discussion that we have on plants that are no longer popular or fallen out of favor, as I was walking through the shade house yesterday, we don't sell hardly any impatiens anymore. We used to have tables of it.
Yes. Correct. That used to be the
summer plant.
Shade plant.
And it's for people that are looking for color in a shady area, it's hard to beat impatiens. They grow like crazy. They bloom like crazy. They reseed themselves. So it's a really good plant for that. But for some reason, it's just kind of fallen out of favor.
Okay, I was just about to tell you. Okay, so dragon fruit contains small amounts of several nutrients, so it's not that exciting. And it has 3.5. These are sorts of. But at the bottom, then it says, given the high amount of fiber and magnesium, as well as the extremely low calorie content, dragon fruit can be considered a highly nutrient-dense fruit.
10% of your needed magnesium, 4% of your iron.
Don't I get that from eating dirt?
The magnesium part? Or Epsom salts?
The iron.
Three grams of fiber is significant. I wouldn't have thought that, because it's so kind of watery.
Yeah, it is kind of.
And it's very low calorie.
And it has several types of antioxidants. Okay, it's a nutrient dense. It's super
cool.
There you go.
So start growing it. Start selling it.
Well, I'm growing it. The plant.
Start producing it.
Get it to start blooming.
And so even if they're ugly, you can grow them because they're good for you. I'm saying that out loud in case somebody's listening. You can grow them.
Oh, I see. You're trying to persuade.
Yeah, even though they're ugly.
Sway public opinion.
There we go.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
My friend Tim just was reaching out to me because we were talking about plants in pots sitting at my house, not planted. And he sent me a picture of the loquat I gave him last time I moved or time before, and I didn't want to move it. So he took it and planted it in his yard. It's doing really well.
They tend to
do
that.
And he wants more plants. But no, I'm going to keep them till they either get planted or till they die. Are not plantable.
I propagated a pomegranate. A good friend of ours from the nursery gave us some pomegranates that were unique, and I propagated them. I remember giving you one or two. How are those doing? You want to move on, Ken? Because David doesn't want to talk right now.
Going back to the plants that have fallen out of favor, another one that we just don't sell much anymore of is standard foxgloves, just regular foxgloves. We have some dwarfs out there, the foxies, but yeah. Regular foxgloves, nobody grows them anymore that I have seen, at least not recently. But, you know, we used to get them in. They'd have flower stalks on them, three,
correct,
4 feet tall.
Right.
I haven't seen any of those in a long time.
So what do you think is the reason behind that?
It cycles through.
But is it sometimes there's a reason, you know, too much water, there's an insect that gets to them?
Foxgloves,
we just can't trust their judgment sometimes. We need more people. Foxglove is a fantastic plant.
It's a neat plant.
And it blooms for months once those spikes start.
The problems is that it's a biennial. So you have to grow it for a year no flowers to get it to flower.
Like, and people, hollyhocks, but it's worth it.
But people want
instant gratification.
Right. Yeah. Another one that I noticed that I can't remember the last time I saw it in the store walking through the tree line is Marcamias. Marcamia is a beautiful tree.
Wow, yeah, I haven't thought of those.
So I'm not
years.
Familiar with that. Yeah. What is that tree?
It's a tree. It's yellow.
It's sometimes called the climbing cactus.
It's got a yellow trumpet-like flower on it. The foliage looks like spathodia foliage.
Okay.
Very, very columnar, upright growth habit. Very tropical looking. It makes a great screening tree. They can be a little bit messy with the flowers and the seed pods, but it's a great tree, and we used to sell a lot of them, but
it's true.
I can't remember the last time I saw one.
I don't know if it's still there, but coming down La Jolla Parkway into La Jolla, I think it's a Chevron down at La Jolla Shores.
Yeah.
You get to the bottom.
Yeah.
Just as you start to climb up and head towards La Jolla, there used to be an enormous Marcamia to the right, and I don't know if it's still there or not, but it was.
I'll have to look the next time I venture over that direction.
My friend Tim said we need to have a text line so that people who don't want to talk can get their questions answered.
It appears he has that right now.
Yeah, he kind of does. But I was thinking they could just call Brendan and talk to him off the air, and he can give us the questions.
True.
So you're willing to do that, right, sir?
He's not listening to you.
Oh, he's not. Yes, he would be willing. So if you want to just call and ask your question, you could.
Marcamia.
Yeah. Nile tulip.
Yeah, Marcamia hildebrandii.
Hildebrandii.
And then while I was walking through the tree line, another tree that is, I think, very underutilized in San Diego, and it's one that my dad's liked forever. We had one in our yard.
May I guess?
Go ahead.
Stenocarpus.
You got it. Firewheel tree.
Yeah.
Beautiful evergreen tree. When it's young, it has very tropical-looking foliage because it has that kind of pinnate foliage to it. very dark green, evergreen. Makes a nice medium-sized tree, not very fast-growing, but the flowers are absolutely unique. I can't think of anything that has a flower on it like that. I think they're actually in the Protea family.
It's a full whorl of flowers, right?
Whorl, yes. Red. I think it's a red center, and then the little ball at the tip of the petals that is yellow.
That was the tree straight out the back on Ticonderoga, correct? Wasn't there a firewheel tree in your dad's backyard?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There was one, it was a beautiful tree.
There was one there, and then we had one on Galveston Street too, when we lived over there. It's a neat tree. It's a really neat tree, and
he's had it with us. Yeah, I guess so. I'm not going to take this anymore.
But that's
it is a very nice tree.
If you're looking for a nice little medium sized evergreen tree, that's definitely one to consider.
And I think part of the problem with that tree, why it might be out of favor, is because it doesn't look like a very nice tree when we have them in the stores. It's just a 5 gallon.
Well, I would argue that we have a lot of trees that people can't imagine what they look like when they're full size or even half full
very
size.
Very hard
when they start
to paint
getting a
the
canopy.
Picture. It's the right. truth.
Yeah.
Take the agonis, the peppermint willow, you show them that little stick, and they're like,
that's not what
I'm looking for.
Yeah, you got to show them the picture in the
exactly.
book.
Right.
Exactly. That's why I bring out the book when I show
I don't
those
know
trees.
Whose backyard it was, but I picture somebody's backyard at the top of Point Loma that had some gorgeous agonis in it and a spectacular lawn underneath. And they did, was it I don't know if it was dichondra or not, but that's, you have to see them.
You have to see them.
Because they don't. Yeah. They don't look like anything, and nobody wants to trust us when we tell them, this is going to be a great-looking tree.
It's
I promise.
Truth.
I
it's
promise.
So true.
That we have a great book at the nursery called Street Trees of San Diego, and that is very useful to show what the tree would look like in a median or in somebody's lawn. And it's very useful when you walk out there and go, this is the peppermint willow. It's a lovely tree. It does this. And then you show them that picture, and they look back and forth at the picture and the tree trying to make that connection.
Yeah. This was an interesting fact. I don't know if you knew this or not, George, but did you know the Navy has its own forest?
To make the ash or the oak for the Constellation.
Constitution.
Constitution. I knew that. I just said the wrong
Constitution step. Grove. It's in Indiana. It's a private 50,000-acre white oak forest.
And if you ever get up to the museum in Boston, they show that. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I had heard about this not too long ago, but I think that's amazing that they do that. It also said that the Royal Navy Admiral Collingwood would slip a handful of acorns into his pockets before taking a walk in the woods near his home. He would press an acorn into the soil whenever he saw a good place for an oak tree to grow. He wanted to make sure that the Royal Navy never ran out of oak. So, but yeah, Constitution Grove is at a Navy facility back in Indiana. But 50,000 acres, that's
a lot of wood.
That's a lot of wood for one boat.
You can do that in Indiana. You
can't do that here.
No. Too bad you didn't need that kind of wood for the, the boat you rebuilt?
The San Salvador?
The San Salvador.
Yeah, we did need it. We used live oak out of the south.
Well, you should have gone to the Navy.
The reason they're using that particular oak is it's incredibly hard, obviously.
It is really hard.
And they have a display real quick where they drop like a steel ball on pine, a regular oak, and then the
white oak.
And this ball will bounce pretty high off the pine, and then each one, but I mean, will settle down on the pine, go a little bit high on the oak, and then just bounce right off the white oak to show how hard it is.
It's incredibly tough. That's typically what they use for wine barrels and whiskey barrels, too, is white oak.
Solid wood.
Yeah.
And then they use different white oak from different areas to give different flavors to your wines.
What?
They use different types of oak and
there's French oak and American oak. And it also depends on how much they char the inside of the barrel, too. So.
Okay, real quickly, what are you going to do right now?
What am I going to do?
Well, we're going to talk about the classes real quick.
Oh, go
quick. Okay, San Diego at 9 o'clock, we have Houseplants with Ted, and in Poway at 9:30, San Diego Spiders in the Garden, good or bad?
Yes.
Randy. Good.
They are good. Yeah. You don't have to come now, but they're good.
Unless you get up. Oh, yeah. You'll have to come and listen.
Come and listen.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCPQ and KPRZ. We'll be back next weekend with another hour. Have a great weekend, everybody, and happy Mother's Day.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.